Kokomo from the Beach Boys right there. This is your morning show on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Right now we've got Mike Love, one of the founding members of the Beach Boys, on the line.
All right, so how are you doing this afternoon?
Good.
Good. I guess we know there's been a lot of controversy in the Beach Boys' past and legal issues and stuff like that. I don't want to delve too much into that today when we talk. But I do have to hit you up front with one hard-hitting question. In terms of your career, what was the bigger moment? Was it appearing as yourself on Baywatch or appearing as yourself on Full House?
That's pretty hard-hitting, I'll tell you. Investigative reporting is something else.
I swing like 60 minutes over here.
I know. I guess Full House, because Full House, we get recognized from being on Full House by children now for about the last 20 years.
Yeah, I imagine, eh?
Yeah, and Stamos, John Stamos, is with us right now. He comes out and performs with us when, you know, his stint with ER just finished.
Yeah.
And he's like one of the most recognizable guys in the universe because of the reruns of Full House.
Oh, the show just keeps going on and on and on.
I know. It's so popular with successive generations of children, literally. So all these people have grown up with that. And, of course, I've heard that the most popular episode is the one in which we did Kokomo on it.
It is undoubted. I'm 24 years old. I think it was the first encounter I really had with the Beatles, and I remember that episode better than any other episode of Full House.
Yeah, it's great.
It's I don't know. When I told people that I was doing this interview with you, the first question that at least half of them said I have to ask is talk about Full House. With my generation, it seems to be a big moment in Beach Boys history.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, it is. You know, John Stamos has been a lifelong Beach Boys fan. He told me once that he used to ride his bicycle past my parents' house in Southern California, and he lived in the same neighborhood as my parents,
right.
And he would ride by the house, and he would look in the window and see gold records on the wall. So, you know, he's been, you know, following the Beach Boys since he was a kid. And he first came out to be with us in 1985, I believe it was, in July 4th in Washington, D.C., and there was several hundred thousand people at that concert. And he was just coming off of, General Hospital. And more recently, he was on ER, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But his biggest claim to fame in terms of public notoriety is absolutely Full House.
And I guess, working backwards, it seems in the history of the Beach Boys, time and time again, a new generation discovers your works over and over again. I'm thinking right now of Endless Summer, which was kind of a project you put together in which you introduced the Beach Boys to a whole new generation,
right.
that didn't really know so well about the Beach Boys. And that project really, how did that project come about, the Endless Summer project?
You mean back in the 70s?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Capitol Records was wanting to put out an album, Best of the Beach Boys, and they wanted to call it Best of the Beach Boys Volume 3, and I said, there is no such thing, first of all. Second of all, if you want to present it to a new audience, then don't make it sound like an oldies collection. Give it a concept, and that's when I came up with the title, Endless Summer.
Right.
Which is based on a surfing movie that was done in the 60s. By a guy named Bruce Brown, who was a cameraman who went around and traveled all over the place and did this surfing movie, which was very popular with all the surfers in Southern California. And so that took off. That hit, you know, the its corollary in England sold a million copies in just England, which is quite amazing, because there's nowhere near as many people in England or Great Britain as there are in the U.S., but it sold a million copies. I think one out of every five people in England had it.
Wow.
Well, maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but
still,
you know,
it
was very popular. Anyway, more recently, we released one called Sounds of Summer, which is 30 songs on one CD, all the hits, and that's on its way to 3 million. copies, which is pretty darn good, I think.
Yeah, that's nothing to sneeze at, 3 million, that's for sure.
For this day and age, you know.
That's one thing that I think, as I was researching for this interview, I looked, and yeah, you came up in the 60s, but time and time again, the Beach Boys have faded a little bit out of the public conscious and come back in a big way. Like you said, recently you've got released another album, sold nearly 3 million copies now. What is it about the Beach Boys sound that allows you to be so timeless?
Well, I think the subject matter, first of all, is something that young people can relate to. You know, even if you don't have an ocean, you might want to, you know, go on a surf and safari.
Right.
We sang about cars and cruising, you know, fun till your daddy takes a T-bird away. Who hasn't borrowed the parents' car and gone somewhere other than the library or to study, but just go cruising and hanging out with your friends or... So I think the subject matter, like for instance in Kokomo, it's more laid back and kind of, you know, let's get away from it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just very pleasant subject matter and primarily positive. You know, we've tried to accentuate the positive, even when we're dealing with something a little melancholy still, we try to accentuate the positive, and I think that positivity and the harmony, along with the subject matter, and the fact that we, you know, wrote a whole lot of songs about life in Southern California as young people growing up, you know, their school life, be true to your school, and the girls that we were interested in, whether it be Rhonda, Barbara Ann, or California girls, you know, so... There's a lot of really cool subject matter. I mean, so many groups have done simply love songs, you know, just focus on just love songs. Love Gone Wrong, you know, Crying in Your Beer, or whatever it is, if it's a country song. But we sung about cars, about our school life, about our beach life, and, you know, our fascination was the girls, whether it be a surfer girl or going to a dance looking for romance, like in Barbara Ann. So, you know, I think it's just a youthful subject matter. So if you're an older fan, you may be looking back at it nostalgically, but if you're a younger fan just discovering the Beach Boys, and you've got the Beach Boys on your iPod, like my 13-year-old daughter does. I have a young daughter, 13. She has 100 Beach Boys songs on her iPod. So, you know...
Did she download those illegally?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I looked the other way. No, but, you know, also, there's one other factor. That the Beach Boys, two other. Beach Boys, Beatles, and Motown are the three most performed genres of the 60s on oldies radio.
Right.
So we're always in the public ear if you happen across an oldies channel radio station. Mm-hmm. But also, there's soundtracks. Like, Wouldn't It Be Nice has been really re-energized, our song from the Pet Sounds album, by its inclusion in 50 First Dates a few years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it was played a number of times in 50 First Dates, and we see that the effect has been to really, like I said, energize that song with a whole younger group of people. And also, you know, in the animated movie with all the penguins and stuff, there is a big dance scene to our song "Do It Again." So every now and then, there's a pretty darn big soundtrack inclusion of one of our classic hits, and that again brings the Beach Boys to the forefront of the public consciousness.
Right. You were talking earlier about, as you said, the themes. It's surfing. It's beaches. It's high school. When you guys were starting out, bands like the Rolling Stones were taking on the rebel feel of things. The Beatles were in the beginning towards the pop vein of things at the Beach Boys, but in their own way, they got darker. Was it a conscious decision to make music about beaches and driving cars and having fun, or was that just something that naturally came from living in Southern California then?
It was environmental. Yeah, absolutely. Before we did a song with lyrics about surfing, there was no song that existed like that. And there weren't all that many songs about cars, but fascination with the American great cars in the 50s and the 60s was enormous.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it survives today in the form of NASCAR. And Formula One, the people are even more obsessed with speed with Formula One, which is it's a huge thing around the world. So there's always been a fascination with speed and automobiles, and there's always been a teenage fascination with cruising and hanging out. So, you know, I think we just tapped into that consciousness of an awareness of massive amounts of people that identified with that, or, you know, if they didn't have a GTO back then, they would have loved to have had one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so I think we just made up songs about real life things that were going on in our lives. And I mean, certainly, you know, 40 years later, people look back at that nostalgically. But if you're just growing up and going to school and you're being true to your school, or you're you can't hardly wait for summer to get here so you can, if not go on a surfing safari, at least get out of town and go to the beach, go to the lake, go to the river, go to wherever. I mean, so all those songs, they relate totally to a young, attractive, outdoor lifestyle.
There seems to be an escapist quality almost to the music. You know, I'm up here in the eastern townships in Quebec, Canada, and our winters get long, but, you know, sometimes you can put on the Beach Boys, and there's always going to be that escapist value of things.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a holiday feel to the music.
In advertising, they call it heightened reality.
Right. And now, speaking with, I guess, the themes of the Beach Boys, over time, you started to get a little away from that. I'm speaking about Pet Sounds and the Smile Project. It's been said that you were opposed to lyrical content and kind of the avant-garde modalities of Pet Sounds and Smile. Why was that?
Well, that's not true, actually. I actually went with Brian to prison, sent the Pet Sounds album to Capitol Records. And that's just been misconstrued outright lies.
Okay.
Because I worked on the Pet Sounds album as hard as anybody other than Brian Wilson amongst the group, and actually went and played it for Capitol Records. And they're the ones that said, well, you know, can't you guys do something more like Surfing USA or right. I Get Around or something like that?
Typical corporate speak, wanting you to get back to, you know.
Exactly. They didn't know how to market the Beach Boys other than the way the trajectory we had been on. So Pet Sounds was a departure from that, and it took, 20 or 30 years for the thing to go platinum. And yet it was a groundbreaking album, and a lot of people were very impressed by the production quality and the vocal performances and everything else. And Good Vibrations, Brian and I wrote that. I came up with the chorus. I'm picking up Good Vibrations. I wrote all the words. So I collaborated with him on that, and Rolling Stone once said a few years back that it was the single of the century.
That's not a bad compliment.
Not a bad one. Yeah, so there's been stuff said about me. I don't know, somebody needed a bad guy and I was it. But it's not true, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you see it whether people are pitting bands against one another, pitting bands against each other.
They did that with
other.
The Beatles, too. You know, Lennon versus McCartney and all that kind of stuff. But the fact remains that, you know, the chemistry worked in that case, and it worked in our case. And, you know, not everything was always rosy, that's for sure. It was more like a them and us situation. Some of the guys were got a little bit into drugs, or a lot into drugs, and there's some of us that didn't. I got into meditation more than I ever did into drugs.
Yeah, I wanted to actually ask you about that. You were on that trip to India with the Beatles and Donovan and Prudence and Mia Farrow in 68 to the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's ashram in India. What can you tell us about that experience? That's something I think we'd like to hear one story from.
Well, you know, just a couple weekends back, I was in Radio City Music Hall with Paul McCartney and Donovan, and Ringo was there, and it was David Lynch Foundation, David Lynch the director.
Right.
Yeah, he sponsored it, and we all turned out, and McCartney was the headliner of the show, but Sheryl Crow was there, and a bunch of people came out. The thing was completely sold out, but the benefit was to, the purpose of it was to generate awareness and money to help teach a million at-risk youth the Transcendental Meditation Program. And in my experience, learning TM in December of 67, I practice it every day since that time.
Still
it's been a very
day.
Important part of my life.
Okay.
And just about 2 months after learning it, I went over to India to Maharishi's place in Rishikesh. And as you say, the people you mentioned were absolutely there. In fact, I had some interesting talks with Paul McCartney, and a fantastic birthday experience. George Harrison's birthday is in late February. Mine is in mid-March. And we both had birthday parties there in India. And in fact, I've written a song reminiscing about that time called Pisces Brothers, because we're both Pisces, you know.
Okay.
So it was a fascinating time, the most fascinating time, and the most fascinating place I'd ever been. And so to hear Maharishi lecture and a lot of the music that came out of there was pretty darn interesting and cool. Paul McCartney came to the breakfast table one morning saying, "Hey, Mike, listen to this." And he sang on his acoustic guitar "Back in the USSR" to me.
Wow.
And I said, "Well, Paul, what you ought to do is talk about all the girls around Russia, you know, Ukraine girls and Moscow and all that." And he sure did.
Well, there's no question that song, every time you hear that song, it's obvious there was a Beach Boys influence on the Beatles in that song.
Absolutely.
There's no question.
And I was there, and he started thinking in a Beach Boys vernacular, and I even, you know, gave him a couple ideas about what to do in the bridge of that song. So it was a very, very fascinating time, and it was very fascinating seeing those of us who remain on the planet from that time, being at the Radio City Music Hall just a few weekends ago.
Well, thanks a lot for that. I know you've got more interviews to do today, but fully appreciate you talking to us, and thanks a lot for that. And you're coming to Sherbrooke this summer for the Fight du Lac des Nations, so everybody's going to be, I think, in the area. It's already a buzz that the Beach Boys are coming to town. We're very excited. Thanks a lot for chatting
with us
today.
Well, we're excited about coming to Quebec. I mean, we always love coming to Canada, no matter where, you know, it's a beautiful country, and but especially Quebec is so so great, you know. So we're looking forward to it as well.
Have you ever been to Sherbrooke before?
I don't recall being in Sherbrooke. We played a theme park in Montreal.
I'd been La Ronde, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And we played at a college there several years ago.
Okay.
What's that? What's the
Would
name?
Would be McGill.
Of that? McGill.
McGill.
Yeah. Right, and so, but we haven't been enough. I'm glad we're coming, because I miss being, especially in that Quebec area. We're playing this summer outside of Toronto at the Casino Rama.
Okay.
We've been going there for several years. We used to do the CNE a lot, mm-hmm. and that was fun. But it's always great to be back in that Quebec area.
Well, you're going to be treated to just an amazing fireworks show when you show up, I tell you that, after the performance. There's
Very
some
cool.
great fireworks that we had. CCR was here last summer, and they were saying they were impressed. It was one of the best fireworks shows they've ever seen. Everybody who comes through generally says that. So I think you'll enjoy that, and I know the Sherbrooke audience is definitely psyched to see the Beach Boys. So thanks a lot for chatting
with us.
Yeah,
we're psyched too, so that'll be great. I look forward to it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.